Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
The DFS Studio is brought to you by DraftKings. Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers DFS and Betting Podcast with your hosts, Kyle Borgannoni and Matthew Betts.
Welcome in. We're back. Fantasy Footballers DFS and Betting Podcast. It's Friday, November 3rd. I'm your host, Kyle Borgannoni, and I am joined, as always, by Matthew Dude Hates Kenny Pickett Betts.
You know, what a game from Kenny last night on Thursday Night Football. And what a game for Will Levis, by the way, too. I mean, everything we thought it would be, it was that and more. So, yeah, what a night, man.
And Henry, who could forget what Henry did?
I know, that was crazy, wasn't it?
And Chig? Man, that play by Chig. I'll always remember that. We record this on Thursday afternoon, so it's kind of a sweat for us, but Betts and I decided to double body bag Kenny Pickett.
He could have body bagged us, for all we know.
I know, for all we know, you guys are idiots. How dare you take the under on Kenny Pickett coming off a rib injury on Thursday night? So, we'll see.
This is going to look funny when he comes out and throws for like 303 randomly and just, like I said, buries us. But yeah, we have the under, by the time you're listening to this, under on Pickett's attempts and his completions. The lines were a little iffy this week. They seemed wrong to me. So we took them, but I guess we'll find out by the time you're listening if this is right or wrong.
Yeah, and Kenny Pickett, stat front that hopefully is still alive, but he has one multi-touchdown game in his career. So, yeah, I mean, we're not scared. We're not scared at all of Kenny Pickett.
No, I'm not scared of Kenny Pickett. Hey, I'm not scared of Aiden O'Connell, Kyle, Jaren Hall, Taylor Heineke. Who else you want to talk about this week? PJ Walker, Tyson Bagent. I mean, those are the boys this week, dude. It's going to be crazy out there in the DFS streets.
I mean, think about you're growing up thinking, I want to play in the NFL. You go to college, you're a dime a dozen. Let's be honest. Like, there are a few true franchise quarterbacks that are living right now, and you, for at least a brief moment, get to tell your kids one day, hey, I started in the NFL. I got to throw a few snaps. My name's Tommy DeVito. You know, I played for the Giants, and then your grandson will raise your hand like, hey, don't I have more passing yards than you, Grandpa? Because you pass for negative yards.
They'll ask to see his highlights one day. They're like, well, son, there wasn't one. There's not a single highlight of me playing. But I promise you, if you go on the internet, you can find proof that I played an NFL football game. That's what it's like. So, man, what a week. This slate is just, it's going to be crazy. I love it. I'm excited. I think it's a kind of rough cash slate.
Yes.
Because it feels like you make one wrong decision and you're done. But like in tournaments, you can do whatever you want this week, and you could talk me into it because of the state of the slate. So I'm excited to break it down.
When we talk through our cash picks, I'm not going to lie, I'm feeling kind of grumpy because I'm seeing the same names pop up everywhere. And if you guys know Kyle, speaking about myself in third person, when I start to see things go a certain way and everyone's going down the same train, I basically say I'm jumping off this train. Who knows if I'm going to fall in the water? I can't do it. So there's a couple of names I want to bring up later, Pop Douglas, and say, good chalk, bad chalk. Is this something we need to fade? We'll talk about him in just a second. So we're glad you're with us. DFSPass.com. We say it every week, not because, you know, the owners of our company are saying, you better plug this every single week. It's because Betts and I, it's our labor of love. This is what we put our time and effort into, and we don't charge anymore. I don't know why we don't move this to a monthly subscription. I mean, I know people listening right now would be like, please, 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 please charge me more. Please make this a monthly subscription so I could just, you know, have this come out of my bank account each week. That is a stupid move on our part. We give one price for the season. And that's it. You don't pay for it again. In fact, you get to recoup that money if you play cash the right way. We think you can do that through our tools, through our articles, through our picks, everything else. So go to dfspass.com. We're giving 33% off because we don't like making good choices. So that's our thing. But cash time it is.
Straight cash, homie.
On Tuesday's podcast, Betts and I were privy to certain information based on what was happening at that time. And now we are talking to you from the future where we have choices such as Aiden O'Connell and whoever else, what kind of bum we want to throw out there. So on Tuesday, we talked about Dak, Jalen Hurts, Lamar. Those seem like the top three. And then when we get to game stacking, we can talk about Geno. If you want to stack Geno, that's fine. Derek Carr, it's kind of interesting as well. But in cash, I'm really only seeing two options for me right now. I've whittled it down to Dak or the mustache man himself, Aiden O'Connell. And you played around with some lineups too with AOC. So do you have any thoughts?
Well, we have a 100% hit rate in cashing this year, Kyle, when we've played Aiden O'Connell. So I think you just follow the trend, right? No, I'm just kidding. He's 4,500 taking on the Giants. And this is one where, like, you know, just rationally talking through it, it does not feel good because of the state of the Raiders. They're on a short week. They have a new head coach, NOC, and quarterback, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? It's just everything about it is like, this doesn't feel great. But if you look at projections and just the math, he actually projects okay at his price point. And that's really what it's about is okay, is if he gives you 12, 13, 14 points at this price, that's really what it's about. Because if you do play him, which I'm not sure where I'm going to go. I'm considering it. You can fit AJ Brown, Alvin Kamara, Saquon Barkley, TJ Hawkinson. Like, you can actually put together a very star-studded lineup if that's how you want to build. I'm not sure if that's where I'll go yet. But like I said, that's kind of where we're at with AOC, the mustache man. The tricky thing, though, is that Josh Jacobs projects very well, and the Giants' defense is in consideration at their price point at 2.3. So, like, I think it's just a decision tree, like you always talk about, Kyle, of if you do this, then what do you do with the rest of your lineup? And if you play him, I don't want to play the Giants' D. I don't want to play Josh Jacobs. So, like, that's kind of where I'm at. I think he's in play, but I'm with you. I like Dak Prescott a lot this week, man. This is the game of the week. Clearly, we always like to say we follow the money in terms of where these totals are going. This was bet up since we last talked by a full point, up to 47 points in this game against Philly. And teams just don't try to run on the Eagles anymore. They're just throwing. The Eagles are facing the third most pass attempts per game this year. And Dak is playing at an extremely high level. I mentioned this on Tuesday, 7th in quarterback efficiency. And in this matchup, he has succeeded in the past, averaging 293 yards and 3.7 touchdowns in his last three games against Philly. So my lean right now is to play Dak over Aiden O'Connell. But I understand if you want to go down there and make it work from a math perspective.
Yeah, my lean is Dak as well on this, as of this recording. And I still need to play around with a few more teams. But I went back and looked at week 4. That's when we did recommend Aiden O'Connell. And he was 4K, so a little different, you know, just slight different in price. Also, the other quarterbacks on that slate were Anthony Richardson, who got hurt. Russell Wilson was somebody we recommended. And then it was pretty tough. Like, you had to pay for Josh Allen or Jalen Hurts, so it's a little different. Also, in that matchup, the Chargers were out. Joey Bosa, Derwin James. That's kind of why that led us to that conclusion. But I think Dak just seems like the safe play. If Dak was like 7,200, which is like my gut level, like, oh, that should be his price, it'd be different. But 6,500 is great in cash. You feel safe. And you mentioned the numbers. So I think he's good. On FanDuel, I just really like Lamar. I'm probably going to be playing Lamar there at 8.6, where the pricing's a little different. So at quarterback this week, in our best plays, we will have some of the other options. And we won't just say play Dak. We'll say, here's, you know, what you could do in tournaments. Here's some stacking options. And then later on, I'm going to kind of highlight what Lamar needs to do, because he is expensive. And Lamar's frustrating, because you know that he could have any week where he goes for 35 plus points. And then he puts up a stinker like last week where it was less than 12. And it just kind of depends on the game flow. If they get the rushing touchdowns, It's just kind of how fantasy works, is variance. So we'll talk about Lamar and what he has to do. At running back, we talked about how Kamara and Saquon are very clear spend-up options. You can have lineups with both of them. I think, maybe it's just me, I think I want at least one of them in my cash lineup.
I think so too. And they're priced pretty close to each other on DraftKings, especially $8,100 for Kamara, $7,900 for Saquon. And I think they project very similar. So like, I would not stress about this if you can only fit one. You know, if you need to save $200 and go down to Saquon, I think it's totally fine. If you have the extra $200 and you want to get up to Kamara, also very much in play. Chicago actually has been pretty good in rush defense this year. So it's not necessarily a matchup that we like to attack on the ground for Kamara, but Chicago, where they are struggling, is against the pass to running backs. They're giving up a ton of receptions and yards to RBs, and that's what Alvin Kamara does. Like, we always say this, a floor of 3 to 4, maybe 5 catches kind of just feels like it's in the range of outcomes every week for Kamara. And when that happens on DraftKings, it's very hard for those players to fail. And, you know, on a slate where like we have minimal confidence in a lot of these quarterbacks that are playing, at least Derek Carr is competent, right? Like, we know he's a starting quarterback in the NFL and he can move the ball against the Bears. So I think I like Kamara quite a bit, but man, Saquon's just getting so much usage. It's been unreal since he's returned. His touch counts in his last three games, 28, 24, and then this is skewed because of the Tommy / Danny DeVito experience, 39 in his last three games. But like, the bottom line is he is the offense. So if you need to save $200, I don't think you should feel bad about that at all.
Yeah. The only issue I have with Saquon is I also really like Josh Jacobs in this game, who's at 6.9. So I won't be playing both of those running backs in cash together, but I think they're both really good plays. So you brought up the Bears, and I was like, okay, why is this defense like showing up so well? Because the Bears are 28th in points allowed. Do you know they're giving up the lowest yards per carry in the league? 3.3. Yeah. Like, it's,
yeah, it's wild. Because we think about the Bears just being like, they'll lay down and they're terrible, right? But they actually have been pretty good against the run.
Yeah. My only concern is that we have seen with the Saints like a little bit more usage for the Jamal Williams, Kendre Miller, Taysom Hill. Like, there are other, like, if you combine all of those, that is another running back this team is using, and that's siphoning some of the carries. Now, you mentioned it's passing work. It's all we care about. His price isn't too expensive, so $8,100 is fine. So that's my only hole I want to poke in Kamara. If you already have him in your lineup, I get it. But he's not a slam dunk to me like he was last week when he was, what, like $7,300?
Yeah, I think that's what he was.
Yeah, so Kamara, Saquon, Josh Jacobs are probably our favorite of the higher price on DraftKings. And then the cheaper guys, Chuba Hubbard at 5K, just because they apparently, their goal was to pay Miles Sanders and not play him, which, hey, congrats. You are winning if that is your goal, but that is just a weird thing. 2 touches last week, but Chuba ranks number 1 in the NFL in rush success rate. That's taking into account downs, first downs, everything else. Like, Chuba's been great. So he's somebody that's interesting. Are you interested in 3 running back builds this week?
I am. And I think the way you make that work is you got to play one of these cheapies that we're going to talk about. And one of those guys is Chuba, who, you know, we like that game environment. We're going to talk about it with the Colts and Panthers. Like you said, Miles Sanders came out last week. He touched the ball twice and Chuba Hubbard was the dude. The tricky thing on this is, like, I would not be shocked at all if all of a sudden they're like, okay, Sanders is another week healthier. Like, let's make this more of a 50-50 split. I don't think anyone should be shocked by that. So I have a little concern in the back of my mind if that could happen, but the efficiency stuff, like you talked about, Chuba's been good this year, and Miles Sanders has been one of the worst backs in football. So I like it at the price. I like the fact that it's a good game environment, and the matchup is certainly there. They're in 26th, the Colts do, in schedule-adjusted points to running back. So I totally get it on Chuba.
The other cheapie that we just need to monitor is Devin Singletary, or we always call him Devin Singletary, and he's 4.3. Damian Pierce has missed the last 2 days of practice, so we'll get practice reports for Friday. Betts will monitor that in the Injury Blitz podcast. But the speculation based on beat writers is that it's trending towards him missing this week. So Singletary at 4.3 at home against the Buccaneers. Is that on your radar?
I think it's on your radar for cash games. I don't think he's the most talented guy in the world, but he's 4.3, right? So like, this is kind of the conversation we always talk about in cash is, this is not going to be what loses your week for you in cash if the field is playing him. If he's very popular and you can fit in AJ Brown, CeeDee Lamb, whoever else you want, like he's probably worth playing, right? In that scenario, the tricky thing is the opportunity cost is if you occupy one of your running back spots with this guy and he fails and Saquon and Kamara go nuts or Jacobs goes nuts, that's going to be a really tough fade on those guys to get Singletary in your lineup. So my lean right now is like, I don't think you absolutely need him, especially with all the quarterback value, Dak's value, you know, and that's how I want to build. So I think he's okay, but I don't think he's a necessary point to have in your lineup.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm not going to lie, I hate the value on this slate. Like at wide receiver, there's a bunch of guys that are going to project fine on PPR, but their floors are doo-doo, man. Like I we'll talk about the wide receivers. I just don't love builds where I am punting at least two wide receiver spots with, you know, low ADOT. Like there's a bunch of Wandale types this week, and I hate playing
Wandale himself. Actually,
Wandale himself is showing up as himself. He's playing his role. So you can mix and match. If you're playing Singletary or Chuba, just compare the projections, compare the opportunities in your lineup. And FanDuel, I want to mention, I think Josh Jacobs is an elite play at 7.5 on FanDuel. Tony Pollard, we'll talk about the game. It's just so cheap. It's so cheap to look at a running back on FanDuel on a really good team that is only 6.6. Like we know Tony Pollard from the expected points standpoint is there. He should have a better run out in terms of game script, but the defense is tough. So Tony Pollard's good. And then Ramondre Stevenson, his tag stands out to me at 6.2 as well at home against Washington. So those are the FanDuel plays. Let's go to wide receiver. And the names you put down, I agree with all of them as cash plays. I would say at least three of them I hate. Like I just don't like these players. And yet I probably will end up playing them in cash. So run down your wide receivers you want to mention.
Yeah, I think the names you're talking about, we'll start at the bottom this week, actually, is Wandale Robinson, who is 3,500 taking on the Raiders. This is about Darren Waller being out. And, you know, they kind of run their routes in the middle of the field, same area. Wandale is a guy that you can probably peg in for somewhere in the range of like 20 to 22% of the targets this week, but it might result in 5 for 40, right? Like very, I think, terrible GPP play, but like totally fine in cash if it makes it work for you. Pop Douglas, on the other hand, is the new hotness this week. He's going to be probably top five most popular plays on the slate, which on a slate without value, he kind of sticks out at 4K if Devontae Parker misses. And, you know, Kendrick Bourne's out for the year. They clearly don't love Juju that much. There's a chance Kayshon Booty is playing in this game. I mean,
I want to give a little pushback.
Someone's got to catch the football in this game, right?
I watched the tape. And by tape, I watched the presser of Mac Jones and what he said. And they asked him, hey, who's going to replace Kendrick Bourne? First name out of his mouth, Juju Smith-Schuster, which is
I would hope that's the first name he says after they paid him an egregious contract.
I know. You think they like had a meeting with him like, hey, by the way, you need to say this because he's making a lot of money. My issue with Pop Douglas is that everybody's going to want to play him. And at 4K, that's really expensive. Like Josh Downs used to be that kind of price back in the day. We were like, oh, we could play Josh Downs. And he's just a much more talented player than Pop Douglas. The targets per route run, 25%. That's awesome. So I want people to temper their expectations to think that this player is some like all-star. Like he's filling in on the worst wide receiver depth chart in the game, right? Like this is so bad. So he is what he is. He's a little slot wide receiver, just like Wandale. So you can play him at 4K, Wandale 3.5. And then can I mention Noah Brown at 3.1, Texans wide receiver?
Yeah, before we do that, just to be clear, I think Douglas is an absolutely terrible tournament play. So that's what you're trying to say, I think, right?
Yes.
Is like these cheap wide receivers that project because someone has to catch the football. We will always want to bet on talent at wide receiver. And these guys are fine, but they're not really guys that I'm scared that are going to necessarily bury you. So that's Kyle's point is what I'm saying. I think he's fine in cash, but go ahead on Noah Brown.
Yeah. And I mean, there's so many other pivots around his price point, like DJ Chark, 3.7. Jonathan Mingo is really great. JSN is at 4.3. Brandon Cooks at 4.4. Rashid Shaheed at 4.5. Like, when you are building your lineup, realize that if you have Pop Douglas in a tournament, sorry, I'm going on a rant here. If you have him and you're using him in a tournament, you are not only building in chalk, but like the ceiling is probably capped. Now, he's probably going to go out and score two touchdowns and tell us we're idiots, but there are so many other players that are barely going to be rostered. And I'm seeing in early projections, Pop Douglas is going to be like 25% or something, 20 plus percent. And that's way too high for a player that, I don't know, what would you put his 99th percent outcome at?
Probably 20 points.
That was the number I had. And I would say the 75% is like 13, 14.
Yeah. So the point is, he's fine in cash. It's a good matchup. But we've seen this story before many times in DFS where a cheap wide receiver becomes chalk and you just put him in and then you move on and you figure out the rest of your lineup. I think that is the wrong strategy this week with Pop Douglas, who he's got a sweet name. So we got to give him credit for that.
Yeah, for sure. And he was team preseason. Like, he's great. Moving up, the Saints wide receivers are interesting. Michael Thomas is another cash play only. Don't love him in tournaments. Can you play Chris Olave in cash?
I think so, but I don't know if you can have a ton of confidence just if you're box score watching, but we always tell people, look, you chase targets in cash and you chase targets at their price point, and at 6.3, Olave, you know, for what he's capable of doing, certainly is too cheap. I think this matchup is one where he can win. So I like it. I just don't have the best feeling about clicking the button on him, which I think a lot of the field might feel the same way. So I guess you can on this slate because it is so gross, but I don't necessarily think he's a priority.
Yeah, and we might be talking about him a little bit later. Chris Olave, 6.3, 6.9 on FanDuel, both good tags. Moving up a little bit further, just Terry McLaurin looks like a great play at 5.6. He's projecting really well if you want to go in that direction. But I feel like I want one of these stud wide receivers, A.J. Brown, 8.6, CeeDee Lamb, 8.2, and then Davante Adams. Like, last time Aiden O'Connell just said, I'm throwing to Davante Adams and Josh Jacobs. So, do you want one of those guys in your lineup?
Yeah, Jacobs saw 11 targets the last time Aiden O'Connell started a game, which was awesome.
Yes.
So, as far as those top three, right now, my lean is A.J. Brown, just because of what he's done, which just because he's been awesome. And, you know, we're going to talk about that game as a full game stack, but I think the knee thing for Hurts is real. Like, he didn't run at all last week. He had 3 designed rush attempts. Most of those were just the tush push. He had 1 scramble. So those were both the lowest marks of the year. So if he's not scrambling as much, there will be more opportunities for Jalen Hurts to throw the football. And A.J. Brown's seeing a 30% target share pretty much every week. So it's hard to argue with that. It kind of feels like a couple years ago when Cooper Kupp was really having his incredible season, every week you're like, man, can I keep doing this? Like, can I really keep playing him when he's this price? So you go up $400, you go up $700. And like, you kept kind of telling yourself like why you shouldn't play it. And then by the end of the year, we were trying to figure out how to get 9,500 Cooper Kupp in our lineup every single week. So like, I still think there's a chance A.J. Brown is undervalued at this price point.
Yeah, I feel like A.J. Brown and CeeDee Lamb are one of those two will be in my cash lineup. It just feels like that's where it's going to be. I like Adams. I love Adams on FanDuel. He's 8K. And so I think I'm going to be playing Jacobs or Adams on FanDuel. They look really good. And then I just need to throw out, I mean, we're going to keep talking about Zay Flowers because target share is what we look at targets and then we factor in price. So you can play Zay Flowers. I'm sure a lot of people just say, I don't want to do that after last week. And Mark Andrews is a lot more expensive, but we care about those two options on Baltimore. Those look good. At tight end, don't love it. Don't really
so
want to,
dude. So
don't want to click the button. I feel like Trey McBride is going to be a chase what happened last week, 39% of the targets. I don't know. It's a different quarterback. It's Clayton Tune. So him or Njoku in that game, both are interesting for cash. I think you could do that. I mean, Njoku's had 25% of the targets each of the last 2 weeks. So that's good if it's PJ Walker. You have Logan Thomas on here, which, I mean, I'll just say Logan Thomas is one of the least sexy picks you can make, but he's 4th in routes per game for tight ends. So there's opportunity. If you want to, I will not be playing two commanders in my cash lineup, though. I'm not playing McLaurin and Logan Thomas.
Yeah, that's probably fair. The argument for Thomas is, you know, we've seen him have these games where he'll all of a sudden pop up for 8 targets, then 11 targets, you know, and then like 1 target. So he's every tight end not named Kelsey, Andrews, Ingram, Hockenson, whoever you want in the elite tier. He's like, just like everyone else. But Curtis Samuel is trending to miss this game. And if that is the case, again, you could see more of those kind of short area PPR type targets for Logan Thomas. So that's kind of why I have him in here. New England, quietly 26 in schedule adjusted points to tight ends. So the matchup is there on paper anyway. But the price points are terrible, man. Like, these guys should all be 3,100 or 2,900. Like, this is tough. And I hate paying for this type of range. So I'll probably just play the one that fits in my lineup with the salary I have and not stress about it too much.
I don't know if you saw in that same game, I wrote up your boy Mike Gesicki as a little dart throw.
Talk to me about it.
He plays tight end.
Got it.
And they don't have anyone, and he's super, 2,600?
Yeah, like,
he's just buried in price. So kind of interesting as a pivot off of Douglas in that game. TJ Hockenson is cheap, totally fine. I get it if you don't want to play him because it's Jaren Hall, but he's interesting. And then if we get news that Drake London is out, like he's dealing with a groin injury, Kyle Pitts is 4.1 on DraftKings, 5.2 on FanDuel. Does Kyle Pitts tickle your fancy at all?
Maybe. Maybe. I think he'd be in play at 4,100, but it's just a tough price to pay for a tight end that you can't necessarily rely on. So I think he's okay. I'd probably have him in the same range as these guys, Njoku, McBride, Logan Thomas. And if you have the money to go up to him, do it. If like Drake London's out, but if Drake London is in, I will not be playing Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, I mean, they're tough clicks. None of the projections look good for tight ends, by the way, this week. Just not even Mark Andrews. Like, tournament's fine. We're not going to play him in cash. Turd Ferguson, your boy. If you want to play him on FanDuel, he's 5.1. Finish off at defense. You and I have the same exact names. You play the Patriots against Sam Howell, who's on pace for 87 sacks. You play the Packers if it's Brett Rypien, who is PFF's lowest graded passer this past week. He stinks. And then if you want to play the Giants against Aiden O'Connell, obviously you wouldn't play those two against each other, but those make sense. So that's it, right?
Yep. There's some awesome defense plays this week just because of the quarterback state as a whole. So in cash, those are my three favorite plays. Don't be afraid, though, in tournaments to get off the board if any of these defenses are going to take a ton of roster percentage. I think my favorite right now, if I had the money, is the Patriots, just with how often Sam Howell drops back. But if you need to save money and drop down to the Giants, Aiden O'Connell took a lot of sacks the first time he started a game.
All right, we're going to take a quick break because I bet there's some people that have to pee. If that's you, you got that break, you press pause, listen to the ad, whatever it was that was there and you had to go pee, thank me later, you know? Subscribe to Betts' Patreon if you need to. You can do that. But let's talk about these games.
Stack Attack.
Betts and I are going to highlight three games that we think you can use for stacking purposes for tournaments this week. The first one is the Dallas Cowboys at the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles are 3-point home favorites. The over-under is 47. That's been bet up. And in terms of game pace score, which I highlight in the DFS pass, I gave this one a 4.25 out of 5, which is the highest of the week. We love Philly games because they averaged the fifth most combined points this year. And Dallas last week, man, they said, you know what, let's come out throwing, which I'm sure you loved having, you know, Tony Pollard in cash. And you're like, why are they throwing the ball every single play? Like, it was, I'm not gonna lie, it was a great game plan for the NFL. It was painful for DFS. But just to give you a stat, this is Jake Tribbia Fantasy Points. I love this stat. The Cowboys' pass rate over expectation in their first 6 games this year was minus 1.2%, but it jumped to plus 14%. That's the highest mark that they had compared to last year. It's awesome. And Philadelphia's been giving up in the air. So this game sets up well with Philadelphia's pace, them being an offensive juggernaut, converting drives, and Dallas saying, hey, you know what? Maybe throwing the ball is good. Like, that's what Mike McCarthy did on the bye. So what is your take and how you'd like to stack this game?
Dude, McCarthy was just grinding on the bye, huh? Studying the analytics, just grinding the tape.
He was looking at Kellen Moore film.
He was like, oh, we actually have a really good quarterback. We should throw it more. I love CeeDee Lamb this week, man. It's such a good spot. We know Philly has talent in their secondary, but they are just getting destroyed. I mean, look at what Sam Howell did last week. Jahan Dotson literally did nothing the entire year, comes out, has a career day against those Eagles. So teams are choosing to throw on Philly. So I love looking at Dak to have a ceiling game here, as we talked about. And when that happens, it's almost always going to happen with CeeDee Lamb, who, you know, is 8,200. He's expensive, but last week he showed us he deserves it. And you're coming against a matchup here, specifically in the slot, where CeeDee lines up almost 64% of the time. Philly is allowing the second most PPR points to slot wide receivers this year. So on paper, this is a CeeDee spot. Philly is weak across the middle of the field. I think you're going to see a ton of CeeDee Lamb on crossers in stuff like that, where he's just picking up receptions over and over again. So I love CeeDee this week, whether it's in tournaments or in cash. He's a great play.
Yeah, the common build is going to be really obvious. Like, it's going to be Dak, CeeDee Lamb, and then Brown on the other side, or Hurts and Brown, and then Lamb on the other side. If you do that combination, like the Philly stack with bringing back with Lamb, that is 50% of your salary right there. Like, you need 100 points from those three players. So keep that in mind. Like, it's not just as simple as I'm clicking these players, I'm moving forward, but these are going to be the two best wide receivers in terms of projection, Lamb and Brown, and they're the most expensive, and they're going to have some of the highest roster percentage. So you can't really get cute here, but I love CeeDee Lamb. I love his price. So to get a little different, would you go Dak, CeeDee Lamb, and then add a third piece like Brandon Cooks or Turd Ferguson, who is tied with Travis Kelce for the most red zone targets among tight ends? Like, is it adding a third piece from Dallas that gets you a little different?
Yeah, real quick before we move to that, the issue with that too, if you play that combination, Dak, CeeDee, and AJ Brown, is that you're forced to then play like Pop Douglas, Chuba Hubbard,
right,
Singletary to make it work. So then you're popular just playing guys into all the chalk. So that's the downside. So I do think you need to find a way to get different in this game. I like Turd Ferg. We talked about him last week. He had an awesome spot. And if you're double stacking, he's a way to do it. I also think Michael Gallup's kind of intriguing as a dart throw. He's just so cheap. And I know the usage last week was so weird. He actually split time with Jalen Tolbert. And I don't know if that was like we're blowing them out sort of thing, right? Or what? But remember, I think 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, it was that showdown slate. He had like 10, 11 targets and did nothing. And I just kind of always keep those things in the back of mind. Like, we know those guys are capable at some point of popping up. No one's going to play him. He's super cheap. So he's in dart throw range for me if I am stacking Dak.
I mean, my best ball teams love hearing that as my highest rostered wide receiver, Michael Gallup
just goes out there and runs around every week.
he's a cardio man. So yeah, I like that take. That's a good one. What about on Philly? Like, can you get different? I mean, I liked Devonta Smith last week a lot as leverage, and I actually played a lineup where I had Hurts, Brown, and Devonta Smith, so that one did fine. But it's just really hard to like say, I'm going to do something different. Like, we always talk about skinny stacking Hurts, so Goddard's very up and down, but we love that in DFS. Like, he can be a key to this game too. So if you're stacking the Philly side, you're just picking Hurts and one other option? Like, are you double stacking Hurts?
I think you can on this slate, because if, like, let's say this game just pops off and goes for, you know, 60 points or whatever, and every other game with Bajan and O'Connell and Rippon and whoever else just fails, like, you might need this game and you might need one of these quarterbacks. So, like, that's the only thing I'm telling myself is I'm thinking about this slate being smaller, like we do on Thanksgiving slates and sometimes. And obviously, that's an extreme, you know, comparison. It's not just three games, it's 10 games, but on those slates, you have to have the game that goes off. And sometimes people think they need to get pieces from every single game to cover their bases. So I think if you are going to play Hurts, he's expensive. And I already talked about the rushing concerns. You're talking about a guy that you need to go out and throw for a lot of yardage and touchdowns. And so I think he's probably bringing two guys with him. So my favorite thing to do is I'm playing AJ Brown with him because AJ Brown, and then actually double stacking him with Dallas Goedert, who is right there with Devonta Smith in terms of usage, but he's way cheaper. And when I look at the tight end roster percentages, we talked about the cash plays, quote unquote. You know, it's going to be these Logan Thomases of the world. David Njoku spend up a little bit and come down from Hockenson, who's going to be very chalky. You're going to get a contrarian piece in Dallas Goedert. So I actually kind of like him as part of this game stack, whether it's the bring back on the other side or as part of the Jalen Hurts stack.
Can you use the running backs as leverage in this game? Because Tony Pollard, we always talk about the expected fantasy points. He has the second most 10 zone carries in the NFL, and he has two rushing touchdowns. That doesn't sound very Cowboys-esque. Doesn't sound like Mike McCarthy, that was on his goals for the year. Instead, it's just been weird game scripts. And DeAndre Swift, it's like, he's been good. He's been consistent. Like in season-long leagues, I think he's been a top 15 running back in like 6 of 8 weeks. So you love that, but he might be asked to pass block more than normal when you have a pass rush that's as good as this. So I like the running backs as leverage from a game theory standpoint. I just, the matchup's so overwhelming that, like, what are you going to get? If you don't get two touchdowns from these guys, I feel like it's just not going to matter because there's other running backs that just project better on the slate.
When you mentioned the leverage piece with Pollard, like, right now I'm seeing 22% rostered. Gross. So, like, and that might just be an early week thing. So like, make sure you plug in and see what happens because of the price, because of projection and the math. But like, there's a human element to this, right? That people really want to keep clicking Tony Pollard and donating to our friends at DraftKings and FanDuel. I'm speaking to myself here. No, I don't want to keep doing that, especially in this matchup. So he's a play that I would like if he was 10% in tournaments. If he's 20, 22, 23, like, to me, I don't necessarily think you're getting any leverage. I'd rather just play the Dak passing game here because I think it projects better from a game script standpoint.
What if I told you that no RB1 against Philly has surpassed 60 rushing yards in a game?
They've been dominant. And like I said, teams just choose to throw on them anyway. So they're not really even trying anymore.
Yeah, I love the game theory of saying, ooh, this is what everyone's going to do. Let me do the opposite. But you run into a point where it just goes, this is just not smart. Just lean into the passing game. So give me your Vegas take.
I like the over here, man. I think we're going to see some points.
I will take Dallas in the points.
How dare you?
Yeah.
Very rude.
I mean, you could see it happen. Also, don't forget, Dallas lost to the Cardinals. How did that happen, by the way?
Dude, every year in the NFL, there's like 3 or 4 games where you're just like, was that real? Did that really just happen? It's what makes the NFL so fun.
Yeah, it's like what Jason said the other day on the show. The Super Bowl champs just lost to the Broncos.
Yep.
That's not good. Next game, the Frank Reich revenge games. The Indianapolis Colts at the Carolina Panthers. This line is Indianapolis -2.5 on the road, and the over-under is at 44. The game pace score is at 3.5 because Indy, they're just fun, man. Number one in no-huddle rate, 9th in points per play, and their games are just going off. So you kind of have to look at this matchup and figure out the game flow. Like, how is this game going to play out? Because Carolina came out last week after the bye and said, we're going to throw. And it was nice to see. It was nice to see Bryce Young actually put together a competent game. So how do you see this play out if you are stacking the Carolina side? Because the pieces are Chuba and Thielen. Those are like the obvious pieces. I don't know if people want to stack Bryce Young, but like, those are the two that I think people will build around if they're correlating in this game.
Right. I agree. And I think that's what the roster percentages will show. That's what the math likes from a projection standpoint too with those guys. But man, it's so tough to click the button on Adam Thielen at $7,500, which I get. He's been great. Like, averaging 11.3 targets per game. You really can't say anything negative about it. The tricky thing is it's expensive and he's going to be popular. So, and Chuba will be popular, obviously, right? So, like, my lean is if I'm playing this game in tournaments, I don't know that I'm going to stack Bryce Young, like you said. I just don't think we've seen enough ceiling in general. But because the pass rate has been up, you know, coming out of the bye week, which we talked a lot about that with Mike on the Dynasty show, there's more, you have the light on, right? Like, you weren't even considering DJ Chark, Jonathan Mingo early in the year. At least now the light is on, and it's possible for those guys to get there. I really like the spot quietly for both Chark and Mingo because of how vulnerable Indy has been to perimeter wide receivers, which is where these guys play. And you were on Rashid Shaheed last week because of his ability to stretch this defense, and their perimeter corners are just so bad. So Is DJ Chark this week's Rashid Shaheed? I want to know the answer to that, Kyle, so I can win $1 million.
I love DJ Chark. I've always been a sucker for DJ Chark. You know that.
Okay,
you
know. I'm in.
Yeah, I think he's a great play for getting off Thielen, who's a bit expensive and, you know, just going to grind the tape real quick. Adam Thielen is a, this is going to sound so bad, he is a man coverage beater. That's what he's good at. He is good at beating man coverage. He's not great against zone, and the Colts play the highest zone in football. So that's just where his targets have come from, and I'm not saying he's a bad play. I'm not saying that Adam Thielen is going to be one of those players that, you know, busts or anything, because most teams play zone anyway. Like, I always try to throw out man versus zone stuff, but his are a bit more extreme, and Colts are an extreme defense against zone. So Bryce Young has also been terrible against zone coverage. So I don't love this matchup if I'm just going by those. I do love the running backs in this game because Carolina is terrible against the run. The Colts have allowed the most rushing touchdowns. Both running backs project really well. So I think my favorite route to go is to just to take a piece of the running game and correlate with, you know, the wide receivers. So, you know, if it's Jonathan Taylor and DJ Chark or Chuba and Pity City, like, that's the correlation that I like. What do we know about JTT and his injury update since The Athletic is apparently sharing your tweets with him?
I mean, we're very close, me and The Athletic writing staff. No, seems fine. Seems that it was just more of a game script sort of thing for why he didn't really get the ball a ton in the second half last week. He came out and said no injury. He was not on the injury report earlier this week, so seems like he'll be fine. I played him last week in tournaments. I thought he was an awesome, awesome play with Zach Moss banged up. But then Zach Moss came out and did what he did. And I don't think Zach Moss is going away. Like, if he was just coming out and was performing terribly, like, I think Jonathan Taylor by now, you know, 4 weeks into since he's been back, would be getting 20 touches a game. But Zach Moss has been good, man. So, like, I don't think you're getting that 25 carry performance that we've known to come and, you know, love from Jonathan Taylor. But can these guys get there on 13, 14 touches? I think they both can pay this off. So, like, I don't want to play them together, obviously, in the same lineup, but I think Jonathan Taylor's an awesome play. I think Zach Moss is a sneaky play.
Yeah.
In this game. Carolina, dude, they are just so bad against the run. 31st in schedule adjusted points, allowing 5 yards per carry. That's second worst. 12 rushing touchdowns this year. That's dead last. And they're 32nd in rush defense EPA. And teams are choosing to run on Carolina for that reason, which is why my CJ Stroud love last week failed and fell on its face. And in the red zone, man, that's what Indy wants to do. So I love the running game here. The tricky thing is it's two guys instead of one. So you're not going to get the touches that you want, but the matchup is certainly there.
Yeah, I've had some issues with the pace of this game because it projects really well based on what's happened this year and based on what Carolina did last week, where it's like, oh, their pass rate over expectation was up. I think the way this game is going to play out is that Indy is going to force their will in the run game. Betts, what if I told you that your boy Zach Moss leads all running backs in the NFL, not named Devon Achane, in rushing yards per game?
I believe it.
What? I mean, what? 84 what yards per game. I know. So I think Zach Moss is a sneaky play. I don't think I could do it in cash. But man, if one of these running backs was out, you would lock them in. This would be the matchup. Sure. Their price is awesome. So I think the way that I'm going to go in this game is if I'm going to use it, I'm going to use one of the Colts running backs, DJ Chark or Mingo, or Chuba. And then I think you can still play Pity City, 9.8 targets per game. I think Josh Downs is getting to be a little more expensive. It's not as an easy click as it was, you know, weeks ago where we were playing him in 4K range. But in PPR leagues, it's like he just feels safe. And in Gardner games, he's getting like 23% of the targets. So any other thoughts on this game?
That's the thing, is like, I love the contrarian idea of trying to play one of the wide receivers here, like you mentioned. I just don't know if we're going to get a lot of volume for Gardner this week, even though they're up in pace, they're just running so much and they're feeding both running backs. So like, I guess I can see it on Michael Pittman. I think he's my preferred play, even though he's more expensive than Josh Downs. Carolina has been, by the way, like if you look at their, you know, per pass attempt, per play type stuff on defense against the pass, they're terrible. It's just that teams don't have to throw.
Right.
It's kind of like Houston last year, right? So it's a max one situation of those two. I don't think I'm playing Gardner this week personally. I think if I'm forced to choose, it'd be Pittman. So for me, it's the running backs and Pittman this week.
Yeah, and I just want to reemphasize, Chark and Mingo are out there all the time. Like last week, Chark was 93%, Mingo 99%, Terrace Marshall, 2 snaps. Don't ask me why, you know? Could he be the greatest player in the league? I sure think so, but apparently they don't care about him anymore. So yeah, they went to 11 personnel last week. They came out of the bye and said, sweet. Also, man, we need to like keep taking unders on Hayden Hurst because he's just nothing now. I know, we need to keep doing it. Put in a reminder after the show, let's look at Hayden Hurst because Tommy Trimble, and they had some other guy named Sullivan running routes too. Sully was running routes.
I have bad news for you, Kyle.
What?
I don't see a line available. I think they're onto us.
They got scared?
They finally took it down.
Wasn't his line like 3.5 receptions last week?
Yes.
Oh, that was an easy under. Okay, give me your Vegas take.
I think the under is in play, and I like the Colts.
Yeah, I'll take Colts at 2.5 for sure. If it's at 3, a little different, but I will definitely take the Colts. Last game, Seattle Seahawks at the Baltimore Ravens. I love these teams, man. Like these are two of my favorite teams in the NFL for fantasy purposes. Baltimore's 6-point home favorite. The over-under is only at 43, so not great. And I think I blame the Baltimore defense. I wish they were worse because there was a day where Baltimore used to get killed through the air and you could just kind of like have this back and forth. They're number one in points per game allowed, number one in expected points per pass attempt allowed, number one in sacks per game. So Baltimore's defense is killing us for fantasy because we want more points. Their offense, well, they're good too. Number one in 10-yard plus runs, 6 in 20-plus yard pass plays, big plays. That's also what Seattle's kind of been. Like last year, Geno had all of those monster plays. They just haven't really connected a ton this year, but like their offense is predicated on big plays in the passing game. So I like this game a lot in the way that it sets up. Lamar, this is another stat from Jake Tribby from Fantasy Points. He has averaged a slate-leading 26.4 fantasy points per game as a home favorite since 2019. So it's going back a while. Lamar's a home favorite. He slays. I think he's a great play this week. What are you seeing in terms of roster percentage? Are people playing Lamar as much as they did last week?
I don't think so, actually. I mean, I think he'll be somewhat rostered just because no one really wants to click the gross names that are on the slate. But relative to Hurts and Dak, I think he's going to be third among that group, somewhere around 10%.
Okay. Well, you know, I tried. I mean, you're going to get quarterbacks that are good that are going to be 7, 8, 9, 10%. Doesn't mean they're bad chalk at all. I actually mostly ignore quarterbacks if they're below 10%. I just say, I don't care who's the best play. So Lamar, skinny stack is basically all we ever recommend. It's Lamar, Zay Flowers, Lamar, Mark Andrews. You could throw a dart at Bateman. I think he's still has a pulse, maybe, but that's about it. Odell wasn't practicing either earlier this week, so who knows? The Gus
doesn't
bus,
play either.
He doesn't actually like play. Like he doesn't matter on the field.
Nope. Every target to Odell this year is a losing strategy. I mean, they're all like prayer balls on the sideline, aren't they?
I don't know, man. I got 15 million reasons to say that they still want to play him.
I mean, he'll be on the field. But like, by targeting him instead of Zay Flowers and Mark Andrews, it is hurting the offense, is my point.
Okay, I'm going to ask a philosophical question. Is targeting Zay Flowers actually a good strategy for their offense? Because it feels like it hasn't been.
The way they're using him, no. But he is the most talented, in my opinion, currently.
He's a weird player, man. Like, super terrible little screen stuff, like Curtis Samuel type stuff, and then he'll get the deep bomb. It's kind of like DJ Moore. For a while, they screwed up DJ Moore in Carolina because he's really good at yak, which is what Zay's good at, but then he's also really good downfield, and so you end up not really using him in the intermediate area, which matters. So anyway, we're talking football here. Just a couple dudes on a podcast talking football.
We got our helmets on, our shoulder pads on. We're in the huddle this week.
So how are you stacking the Baltimore side? Because last week it was use Gus Edwards as the wipeout pick. I got really fortunate in a tournament to say, I'm going to play Gus Edwards as the piece. and I brought it back with Trey McBride. That felt great. I don't love this for the Gus Bus. I mean, this has been a tough matchup for Seattle, so he's kind of been running hot on touchdowns alone. Doesn't get much passing work, so Gus feels like a... You play him if you want to chase last week, but I'm not super interested.
Yeah, it's a tough matchup too, and he's banged up with the toe issue. I think he'll play, but just makes you, you know, concerned a little bit. Coming off arguably the easiest matchup that exists against the Cardinals to one of the most difficult against the Seahawks doesn't give you a ton of confidence. I think my only real interest here from a tournament perspective is Mark Andrews, because Zay Flowers is going to be chalky.
You like Mark Andrews?
Yeah, I do. And he's like the only tight end on the slate besides Hockenson, I guess, although with Jaren Hall, maybe not, that can actually break the slate. Well, Dallas Goedert could, I guess, but really like a guy that come out for 25 DK points. Can you name any tight ends that can actually do that on this slate? I don't think so, right? So like, that's just a way to get different and no one's going to play him.
I mean, Kyle Pitts in his dreams feels like he could, but Arthur
Smith... Dude, what if Taylor Heinicke is the key to unlocking Kyle Pitts?
No, he's not. Okay. I Taylor Heinicke's fun to root for. He beat your Eagles last year. It was him, right?
It was Brian Robinson, but yes.
Okay. But... There's a lot to like. Anyway, I think it's just real simple. If I'm just going to stack Lamar, Andrews, go overweight the field on that. I do want to give you some numbers, because on DraftKings, this is the most expensive that this pairing has been the entire year. Like, you know, 6,800, 8,200. So that's $15,000 in your salary. So you need them to do a lot more than they've done in the past. And I went back through Lamar and Andrews have only 3x twice this year. Like, that's not great. That's not something you want to find out in a stack. But who cares? You just play them anyway. They're awesome. Lamar, I mean, Andrews is seeing 41% of their targets inside the 5. He has the most tight end receptions inside the 10. So when they get in close, they use him, they throw. So Lamar, Andrews on that side. I cannot for the life of me play Walker or Charbonnet. They're like off my board this week. Walker's a touchdown or bust kind of guy, and that's it. So it's really simple. Like, I'm just going to pick a wide receiver on the Seattle side, or I do not mind if you want a Geno double stack and bring it back with Andrews. I think that can work too.
That makes sense to me. It's tough on the running backs, like you said, just because of the usage we saw last week. So you can't really go there. I mean, in tournaments, if you want to take a shot, like, totally fine. But it's just, it's tough to go there in a matchup that's really tough. So I guess Geno double stacks are fine, but kind of the same story, right? Like, they really haven't worked this year much at all. My inclination here is to play Lamar with Mark Andrews if I'm going to stack. And if I'm not stacking with one of these quarterbacks, I just want to do like a little mini. I like DK Metcalf this week across from Mark Andrews, or even just DK Metcalf and get out of here. Metcalf's a guy that's, he's been banged up. You know, he had the hip issue, the rib issue. The box scores don't look awesome. But if you look at his targets, 9 and 14 in his last two games, just a 39% catch rate in those games. So, like, he's leaving a lot out on the field. And if he converts on those opportunities, he's going to smash this price tag, especially on FanDuel. 7,200, very cheap for Metcalf relative to DraftKings.
Yeah, I like Metcalf. We might be talking about him a little bit later.
Oh,
but
okay.
Yeah. I think, so with Geno, he's going to be pushed. And Seattle's kind of been one of those teams that you have to throw. Teams have to throw on the Ravens. Fourth most pass attempts in the league. Efficiency has not been good. And with Geno last year, remember, he was so good because you were getting like two touchdowns every single game. In fact, 71% of his starts last year, two or more passing touchdowns. This year, he has 0 with 3 and multiple passing touchdowns just 3 times. So I think we're due for a game from Geno at 6K where... You can get there with the build too. You get to go Geno and let's say DK. You can start there. Roster percentage is going to be low. You bring in Mark Andrews. You're already having a different build than so many other people. You can get chalk at running back. You can play Kamara and Saquon. You know, add in some cheap pieces like a JSN. Like, I just love the way that the build sets up. It's not that expensive, and you know they're going to have to throw. So, matchup wise, it sucks, but we lean into volume. We don't really care where it goes. So any last thoughts on this game?
No, I think we hit everything.
All right, give me your Vegas take.
I like the under. This game could be a snooze fest.
The line's good. I think it's a good line.
Just pain. I can hear it in your voice. Just pain.
I traded for Lamar. I had a doo-doo week this past week in one of my home leagues. So I'm taking the over. What could go wrong?
Just wish cast it into existence, Kyle.
That's exactly it. All right. Any other stacks or correlations you want to mention? I just want to throw out there that if you're playing the Saints game, you know, if you want to do Kamara or Olave or Rashid Shaheed, I do not mind DJ Moore on the other side. I think he's a fine play. And then Cole Kmet was targeted 10 times last week too. So there's a correlation there between Saints and Bears. Bears games have hit the over in 6 of 8. Saints have had a lot of plays, second in plays per game. So that game pace-wise makes a lot of sense. So if you want to correlate those plays, that makes sense.
Yep, I like that call. Last week I was big time into CJ Stroud. That did not work with those stacks. I think you can go right back to it this week, especially against the Bucs, because when you face the Bucs, they're a very good run defense and teams are choosing to throw. So last week we saw a more run-centric game plan from Houston against Carolina, as we talked about. This week I think we're going to see more CJ Stroud dropbacks, especially if Damian Pierce is banged up. So I'm back on CJ Stroud stacks for tournaments this week. Stack them with one of or both Tank Dell and Nico Collins. Then on the Tampa side, looks like no one's really catching a ton of roster percentage except for Rashad White, who, I mean, if he gives you like 10 catches, as we saw on that Thursday night game 2 weeks ago or last week, that's great. But the running is very inefficient, so I'm concerned about that. Mike Evans is looking right now. He's looking at 6%. Chris Godwin looking at about 3%. So contrarian options there in a game stack that I think could have some upside.
Yeah, I like Evans. I wrote him up on FanDuel as a really good play as well. So that one I like a lot. Our slate breaker of the week is presented by one of our best sponsors, probably a friend to you and me. It is Nike Sweatpants. They are the sweatpants of the at-home podcaster and also the sweatpants that I've been wearing for 2 days straight. So,
oh boy.
You know, you get in a little flow where you're working from home and, you know, are you slippers every day?
Oh, every day.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm wearing my tennis shoes right now. Just, you know, make sure I'm alive. In the house.
No way, dude. I'm a slippers kind of guy inside.
But Nike sweatpants, I'm telling you, there's not much better than these feelings. So these have been through a lot, and I really enjoy them. Bets, why don't you hit me?
You put those pants through a lot.
I mean, imagine if your life was you have to just be sat on forever. Anyway, give me your slate breaker.
Yeah, I think you're going to like this one. It's Chris Olave, who is 6,300 on DraftKings.com, 6,900 on FanDuel, and Alvin Kamara is what everyone's talking about this week, for good reason. But we talked about it. Chicago's pretty good against the run. You can throw on Chicago. They're 26th in PFF pass coverage grade. And this guy is still seeing a 28% target share, only one touchdown this year. And right now, the highlight on social media is the ball bouncing off of his face mask. We know he's a talented player. Give me Chris Olave.
I don't know if there's something in life I could agree with more than what you've just said.
My mind's telling me no, but my body's telling me yes.
Yeah, baby.
It's time. Dude, it is time for Chris Olave. When I logged on the dock, which, once again, I was already logged on. I was sitting there waiting for you to type this. Chris Olave is going to smash this week. I love it. Call a doctor, because I have issues right now. All right, mine is DK Metcalf, 6,900 on DraftKings, 7,200 on FanDuel, 14 targets last week. He caught 5 of them. Wasn't great, but his last 2 games, a 30% targets per out run. He is the alpha of this team. And if you've had him in season long, you're like, wait a second, has DK Metcalf been good? Because he's yet to have a week in half point leagues inside the top 20 wide receivers. Like, it's not good, but he hasn't like been bad. You just haven't seen these monster blow-up games. They're going to have to throw a ton, and his roster percentage is so low. Like, nobody's playing this guy. I'm seeing under 5% on our site, and I've been on a couple other sites. I'm like, okay, maybe we're off. I'm seeing 3%. I'm seeing 2%. You know what? If you want to, I could see 1%, because nobody wants to play DK Metcalf. They want to see it first. We don't care about that in DFS. So if you're stacking Geno Smith, if you're stacking Lamar Jackson, I think DK Metcalf could break the slate. In fact, I'm playing both of these guys in the same lineup just because they both make me so happy.
That's where you start each week, these two guys, and you figure it out. I will say, too, with Metcalf specifically, if he is going to be 3, 4%, something like that, this is an early window game where a lot of the roster percentage on the slate is going to be in the late window. So if you play Metcalf and he goes off and you have a contrarian piece early, you can swap onto some chalk late and feel pretty good about your chances of hitting a good score this week. So I like Metcalf for that early window contrarian piece too.
Yeah, we always talk about late swap, using it, you know, if you're behind. But if you start off well, you just ride that chalk. Last week, I had Christian McCaffrey in the lineup, and I figured he'd be chalk. I knew he'd be a good play, and you just kind of ride that wave because you know that the rest of the field probably isn't going to have them if they're up in a tournament because he's so expensive. So keep that in mind with late swap. But one more segment.
Prop it like it's hot.
Betts and I mentioned that this past week in the DFS pass, we had quite the week with our props. We've been propping it like it's hot, like we said. So Betts, give me your stone cold lock of the week.
10 unit banger straight to the bank. Rashad White under 49.5 rushing yards. Now I said, Kyle, let's get this out in the DFS pass officially. And you said, convince me on the show. So here you go.
Yep.
He's been under this line in 5 of 7 games this year. Houston is allowing just 3.4 yards per carry on the season. That is tied for third best. The Bucs are 3-point road underdogs against Houston, projecting a potential negative game script for Baker Mayfield. But what if I told you, since their bye week, they've abandoned the run. They are second in the NFL with a 68% neutral pass rate in that 3-game sample since the bye week. Not even trying to run the football anymore. He is averaging in the last 3 weeks under 10 carries per game is Rashad White. So can he get there as a receiver? Sure. He's going to get there as a runner? Don't think so.
I'm looking at my spreadsheets, scrolling. I'm like, where are the Bucks? Dead last in expected points per rush attempt. Yeah, I do like that they just kind of ban the run and that he's inefficient. So a lot of that doesn't sit really well. Surprise, the line's at basically 50 yards. So you have convinced me we can put this out in the pass and the people can make their money. I, of course, will be a square and take an over. Because there's nothing better in life than taking
overs only, baby.
Overs only for your boy Kyle. I'm going to take Geno Smith. Perhaps you've heard of him because I talked about him for a while. The over on his pass attempts at 31.5. Teams have to throw on the Ravens. I mentioned it. Fourth most pass attempts in the NFL for the opponents. And I looked over the last year in Seahawks games where they lost. Geno Smith is averaging 36 pass attempts per game. And right now they are a 6-point road dog. You can't run against Baltimore. They're not going to be able to do it. So I like to lean into that. I don't love taking any over for fear of injury or anything else, but this makes sense given the game script, given my slate breaker, and given the fact that I'm on a hot streak. So let's just run with it, people. Let's just go with it. So Geno over 31.5 pass attempts, Rashad White under 49.5 rushing yards. That'll do it for us. If you want to play with us, go to BallersDFS.com. You can get in our DraftKings League, Fantasy Footballers, DFS, Borg, and Betts. Last week, Betts, I reserved a contest and I forgot to enter a lineup in it for one of ours. Like a real dummy. I mean, I did had a good week, so.
So you quite literally donated to DraftKings.
Yeah, I just, it's my way of giving back to the community. Nice. Yeah, no, that'll be my political stance when I'm giving my speech. Like, I've always just been someone who cares about philanthropy. Like, I don't know, donating to DK and to listeners.
Hey, Kyle, have you done any volunteering this year? Well, actually, I've donated my $12 entry this past week to DraftKings, and I earned 100 crowns for it.
Jason has done that more times than I... Like, he will reserve a contest and then forget to put a lineup in later. It makes me laugh a lot that he just forgets. Anyway.
Love it.
We'll see how it goes. Hopefully, you guys have a good week. Feel free to reach out to us on Discord. And you'll get our best plays that comes out on Saturday. Betts, tell everyone bye.
Yes, sir. Don't reserve a contest and forget to enter it this weekend. But hope you guys enjoy the football. It should be interesting, to say the least, out there. Good luck to all of you. We will catch you next Tuesday.
Thank you for listening to another edition of the Fantasy Footballers DFS and Betting Podcast. Don't forget to visit us on the web at thefantasyfootballers.com.